go to Qurani.app inshallah.
The app tracks verses, pages and time spent reading, and the verses to pages function takes you from reading a few verses a day to a few pages a day. This project is for the real enthusiasts. If there's enough of us out there, this will become the future of Quran apps.
And support the project if you can, inshallah. May Allah bless all of you. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? Yes, I'm joined with two very, very special men, very, very influential men. I'm joined with Zeeshan Smal to Jannah and Ali Needs Dawah. How are you guys doing? You're right.
Alhamdulillah.
How are you, bro?
You're right, yeah? Alhamdulillah. Well, good to see you. It's good. Today, we're going to be talking about something very, very important. In fact, we're going to be reacting.
You're so used to responding, but yeah, you've got reacting.
There you have it, there you have it. What's the name of this channel? How do you pronounce it?
Kirkland.
That sounds like you're having a stroke in German.
It's like deja vu, it's as if you've said this before.
Ah, it's probably not.
Yeah, maybe.
How do you say it?
You say Kurz Kazag.
Okay, I like that. Okay, actually, you've started doing stuff on your channel which kind of mimics their material, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Like copying their stuff.
No, actually,
doing it in a better way.
Plagiarizing.
They're known for these kind of like really kind of interesting animations, well put animations, which are informative, and
they give a little undertone of a very kind of atheistic liberal backdrop.
Aha.
So I'm trying to
kind of agenda. You're doing the same thing, but with the Islamic kind of paradigm in place, right?
Counteract that. Going one step better.
No, I welcome it. I think what you're doing is really pioneering animations in the Dawah space, and I think that's really, really good. But what I wanted to respond or react to as collective, right? Yes, to respond. What I wanted to react to today is something I was watching about a video they made about an antidote to dissatisfaction. And what was really interesting was that some of the things that they put in that video relating to gratitude, and obviously from an Islamic perspective, we have a lot to say about this because our religion speaks about this at length. So the first thing I want to do is show one clip, okay, about what they're saying the benefits of gratitude are, and then come back and have a conversation.
Scientists found that gratitude stimulates the pathways in your brain involved in feelings of reward, forming social bonds, and interpreting others' intentions. It also makes it easier to save and retrieve positive memories. Even more, gratitude directly counteracts negative feelings and traits like envy and social comparison, narcissism, cynicism, and materialism. As a consequence, people who are grateful, no matter what for, tend to be happier and more satisfied. They have better relationships, an easier time making friends. They sleep better, tend to suffer less from depression, addiction, and burnout, and are better at dealing with traumatic events.
So as you guys saw there with the first clip, you know, it was talking about what the benefits are to gratitude. What are your initial reactions, Zisha?
I think my initial reaction is that of, I wasn't really surprised.
Yeah.
Because whenever atheists or people without a religion want to encourage people to do something, either it will be done using threats or it will be done using science. Threats that we see, traffic cameras. Yeah, we see London is one of the hotspots, one of the most watched cities because of CCTV. Yeah. If you park in a bus lane, you get a ticket home before you've even reached your home. Yeah, so that's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it is by bribing people through facts and through science. Oh, science says this, science says that. But just like when you watch these atheistic debates and they mock theism or whatnot, and then they get the big clap and, you know, Christopher Hitchens' very well-articulated arguments. But that's all they are. They're just well-articulated, but they don't have any substance behind it. So when these people go home to their empty flats and they're ready microwave meals, there's nothing of substance. That's why they go to the bottle. That's why Christopher Hitchens, he admitted that his friend was the vodka bottle. So these people admit it, and I don't want to bait out other names.
It can't be his friend because they both made from the same thing.
Oh yeah, matter, rearrangement of particles.
What do you think, Ali? You were a non-Muslim at one point. You became a Muslim. Yeah. How has your life changed because of Islamic gratitude?
To be honest, like Sabul said it really well. I was discussing with him. He said atheists are people that, like, they come in front of your house and scream, "Get out, get out, get out!" And you run out and you go, "What happened?" And they go, "I don't know." Like, well, why did you get off? I don't know. What do you mean? I don't know. Where did you get into? No purpose. They'll tell you, no God, no God, no God. But when it comes to life forms, etc., okay, can you give me a solution? Okay, tell me what's my life. I don't know. Why are you telling me to get out of my house then? You have nothing to offer me. You're intellectually bankrupt. Mm. Yeah, you've got nothing to offer. You're an intellectual eunuch. So the point is this. Yeah? No, let's be honest. No, yeah, you've got nothing to offer. So yeah, when it comes to gratitude, it's what we're saying here is good, because what it does is, like, the reason I'm mentioning this is because people like Sam Harris and New Atheism have realized the spiritual gap. There's a massive gap. Yeah. So they've even gone into spirituality, bro. As atheists, they have gone because they've hit a wall. Now, it's good that we see that, because now they've realized they're making a U-turn. But what that means is, in a nutshell, gratitude is good, because now what you're doing is, like it says in the video, be happy for the little coffee that you have, or be happy for little stuff. That's good. That's a beginning. But we need to take it to the next level, because what this shows is a step towards the right direction, which is gratitude. But now the question is, what are you grateful for? Mm. Because if somebody gives you £100,000, you start, and imagine you start thanking the money, like, "Oh, thank you, thank you." What about the one that gave you that? Ah. You're too focused on the money. Okay, but we're saying, what about the one that gave you that? If you can find happiness and gratitude with the materialistic thing, what about the one that gave it to you? If the material thing can give you that happiness of being grateful for the little things, what about the one who created you and the thing that gives you the happiness? What we're saying is, take it to the next level by connecting to God. Because other than that, who are you grateful for?
Or what? Anything that the object of gratitude is missing. The ultimate object of gratitude is missing. I think what you've mentioned, that's very well put. And I think what Zeeshan was saying is, I think, something they've realized as well, because it's a chemically reductionist approach. I mean, now that, and they've realized that, which is why in the NHS, the National Health Service in the UK, for those who don't know, abroad, they do have SSRIs, like, you know, serotonin or drugs that manipulate serotonin, which is one of the neurotransmitters, right? However, you know, if you look at some of the placebo drugs, they have almost as much effect as SSRIs, which shows you a lot of it is actually cognitive, which is why in the NHS they put things like CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, or talking therapies, or psychotherapies, because they realize it's reductionist to just kind of go all the way or speak of this in chemical terms of neurotransmitters and so on. And we, as Muslims, our paradigm has always been multifaceted. You know, in terms of how we diagnose issues, it can be physical, a physical ailment. It can be chemical, and of course, sometimes it is. But also, we have to think about all the other dimensions as well. The spiritual dimension being one of those things which is not even accessible by the scientific method.
It's a metaphysical law. Mm. It's a metaphysical law that you need to tap into. You know, it's as simple as that. Allah set those metaphysical laws in place for a reason. And this is the massive gap that's happening, bro. You can be grateful for coffee and stuff like that, you know, but if the metaphysical law, what we believe in, like the Prophet said, the hadith,
wondrous is the affair of the believer.
Whatever, like, calamity strikes him, or goodness, he's grateful, or he's patient.
I think we should stop with this. It's a very, very, very important hadith where the Prophet said, "Ajaban li amr al-mu'min." It's one of my favorite hadiths, in fact, that wondrous is the affair of the believer. Inna amrahu kullahu lahu khayrun. That his entire affair is good. وَلَيْسَ ذَاكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And this is not the case for anyone except for the believer. إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ صَرَّاءُ شَكَرَ. If good things happen to him, he's thankful. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ وَشَكَرَ. And bad things happen to him, he's thankful and he's grateful as well. And in that clipping that we just saw, the video clip, they were mentioning how people that are grateful on a regular basis can deal with trauma better.
Yeah, of course.
And this is, you know, subhanAllah, it's really showing us the spiritual fruit of this hadith, isn't it?
No, of course, because if you think about it, when a disbeliever gets ill,
Well, let's say someone who is an atheist or
an
materialist.
Yeah, so if he's ill, like, the question that needs to be begged is, why am I ill? Why me? What caused it? You have no
meaning. Does this have?
What meaning does it have?
Yeah, yeah.
When you talk about a believer, it's like expiation of sins.
Yes.
It's about getting closer to Allah.
Yes. Test.
Is Allah testing me?
Yes.
I've got so many options to choose from. Now somebody come and say it's you made it up. I don't care. Does it work?
We know, I know it's true, but to you, let's suppose it's made up. It does work. The formula does work. It's right under our noses. We're not seeing it.
And we're not saying, therefore, God is true.
No, I'm not saying
it's not an argument for God's existence. We're saying that we are saying that our systems allow us better quality of life. That's what we're saying.
I believe it is an evidence, supporting evidence to God. It's separate. It's a supporting evidence, but
it shows you that we have an innate propensity, an inclination to want to be grateful 100%. To an ultimate source. Yeah.
But think of it this way: if you come across a doctor in a remote kind of village somewhere, and you have a few illnesses, you tell him, "Look, I've been bitten by this insect. I don't know." And he says, "Okay." He touches it, and he's like, "Okay, I know what it is," and he gives you a cure. And you're like, "Where have you studied?" "I've just, studied somewhere." "Okay, well, I've got a rash here." He prescribes you a cure for it, but he hasn't been through the official channels. And then he gives you another cure. When he keeps giving you cures and they keep curing you, eventually it becomes illogical for you to say that, no, this is he's a fake doctor.
So what you're saying is that Islam is such a robust and comprehensive system that when you start looking at a spiritual package,
it keeps delivering the goods. Yeah, in fact, I would even say that if these proofs accrue, this actually is in favor of the truth of Islam also.
So there's a probabilistic type of argument.
Exactly. Because it's happening. Yeah, there's so many things. If you see Islam through a social... Through social lens. Yeah, from a social lens, from a philosophical lens, through a psychological lens, you will see that Islam, whatever it has said 1400 years ago, is relevant till today.
Wow.
And will be relevant in the future.
Yes.
And has been relevant in the past.
Very good.
In the past.
It's a working model, though.
It's a working model. I want to show you guys another quick clipping where they give us recommendations of what to do. Okay. Let's take a look at what they say we should do.
The easiest gratitude exercise with the most solid research behind it is gratitude journaling. It means sitting down for a few minutes, 1 to 3 times a week, and writing down 5 to 10 things you're grateful for. It might feel weird at first, so start simply. Can you feel grateful for a little thing, like how great coffee is or that someone was kind to you? Can you appreciate something someone else did for you?
So they talk about gratitude journaling. What are your reactions to that?
I think with gratitude journaling, we already have a form of gratitude journaling.
Where is it?
Well, it's in my head, isn't it?
Oh, right. It must be a small journal.
It's the biggest journal. Small people can't see.
Yeah, tell us what you're going to say.
So in Islam, let's look at psychology. They say post the age of 25 is very difficult to change the mindset of a person. Mm. The only two things that can change the mindset of a person is number one, trauma, and number two, affirmations. You're constantly repeating something. That's why when you go to these self-help classes or you go to a therapist, they say when you get up in the morning, even people like Jay Shetty, they say when you get up in the morning, make sure you don't switch on your device. Make sure you don't do other things. You say these affirmations. Today's going to be a good day. I'm a strong person. I'm a confident person. Yeah, and you give time to yourself. And that's exactly what we're asked to do. We get up in the morning. What do we say? Alhamdulillah. Hilladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana wa ilayhi nushur.
Which means,
praise be to Allah who has given us life after death. So we start off the morning with gratitude.
But instead of an egoistic model where it's all about yourself, now you have an object of transcendental.
And that's why I think that's what makes Muslims, we have the key. Why? Because when it comes to these sorts of, that's what I was saying initially, that you can tell somebody, oh, this chemical is released, and that sounds good in theory, but is that going to work when you are inundated with grief, if you are inundated with the trials and tribulations of life? No, it does not work, and it will not work, and the suicide figures attest to that. But when you come to the Islamic frame of mind and the way of thinking, and believing, you will see it's effective in so many different ways.
I mean, like you said, you mentioned that du'a in the beginning, but the very first thing that we're introduced to in the Quran is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks belongs to God, the Lord of the world. And after each prayer is sunnah, or it's recommended at least, to say Subhanallah, which means glory be to God, 33 times. Alhamdulillah, which is praise and thanks be to God, 33 times. And then 34 times saying Allahu Akbar, which is that Allah's greatest. So it's, you're constantly in the day, you are constantly saying Alhamdulillah.
That's 100 times in one prayer, and there's five prayers, so that's 500 times. And even one salah, the one dhikr that you're often repeating is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu liman hamida rabbana lakal
hamd. So that is constantly, you know, introducing to you, even if you're putting in chemical terms, although we're not saying that this has got a spiritual effect, but even the chemicals, is endorphins and neurotransmitters are really.
But who is it too? Like, it's very interesting. Are you saying Alhamdulillah?
It's not egoistic, right?
Okay. No, I'm not saying that. Yeah. When you're saying Alhamdulillah, whatever it may be, yeah, it's like your gratitude, is it to the object? But if you realize all these dhikr is around who? To Allah.
Allah.
What are they talking about? It's all about, because they don't have that, they have to feel it. It's a form of shirk. Beautiful. Oh, be grateful for coffee. But why about
but what is the ultimate that's object exactly of gratitude? Exactly.
If you think about it, all the things that we have been told to do, it's all connected back to Allah. Everything.
Do you know what you said there? It's so powerful.
Him. And just to add on, just my last statement, is that if you think about we have a 24-hour day.
Yes.
We have 5-day daily prayer.
Yeah.
We have 1 week.
Yeah.
We have Jummah.
Yeah.
We have 12 months. Yeah. We have Ramadan.
Oh, Ramadan is a beautiful one.
We have a lifetime Hajj.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? Allah, from our day to our week to our year to our lifetime, has prescribed a little antidote that it is there one way or another. Even the dhikr you're talking about, every now and then, even like you can see in an hour, the dhikr, Allah has even prescribed something somewhere there, wherever it may be, for us to work with, bro. It's amazing.
It's a system. And fasting is beautiful because it's a practical way of withholding from things which we take for granted every day. That's a really good food, drink, sexual intercourse, etc. But there's more to it than that. I mean, I think what you were saying was really powerful in that there's a hadith which says, "Man lam yashkur an-nas, lam yashkur Allah." Whoever does not thank the people does not thank Allah. So even if we're being thankful to people, and by the way, it doesn't say "Man lam yashkur al-Muslimin."
Yeah.
It doesn't say whoever thanks the Muslims.
Exactly.
This shows you the comprehensiveness and the universality of the Islamic religion. Whoever does not thank the people, whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim, if you don't thank people who deserve that thanks, then you're not thanking Allah.
Yeah, but it shows ingratitude. But if you think about it, you know what Allah says, "We ordered you to after worshiping us, being grateful to the parents as well." Yeah, actually, someone has ingratitude to their mum or dad.
Yeah,
can never be grateful to Allah.
Mm.
If you think about it, if the one guy gave birth to you, or the people, if you're not grateful to somebody who did something good to you, that shows a disease of ingratitude in the heart that could lead to ingratitude to Allah. So what we're saying is, if someone can't be grateful to the one who gave birth to them, how could they be grateful to the one who gave their mother?
Wow.
Do you know what?
There's another thing you can say as well, which is that it's so ironic that we are using Allah's air, His oxygen, His material, His time, His space, in order to be ungrateful to Him with it.
That's the key. What you can add on to that also, you know, when you
one more thing, you know, Abdullah and the Lucy, you know the brother, he made a really good point one time, and I'll give him credit for this. He said, you know what it's like? He said it's like someone who's, so for example, you've got a wife, and she's paying for you. Okay, she's paying for all the, you're not the breadwinner, she's the breadwinner, yeah? She's the breadwinner, she's paying for your drink, housing, accommodation, everything, right?
What's a good wife then?
right, so she's doing all those things, right? Which is the anti-traditionalist model, the opposite of it, not even the feminist model. So he takes the money, okay, that she's paying him and all that kind of thing, yeah? And he goes and he cheats on her using the money that she gave him.
Yes.
Mm.
Do you see the point here?
And it's worse than
using the money. That's what he was saying. And using the money it's the same as human beings. The analogy goes,
and it's worse than that. Shirk is a billion times worse.
Right, it's even worse. Bab Aula would say, right. So it's worse than that, because human beings, we are using the air, we're using the oxygen, we're using the place and the time and everything, that we can't go anywhere to escape the dominion of God, and we're being ungrateful to Him in His own space.
What are you
deserve? With His own space,
you deserve hellfire.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone says. If you truly comprehend that what you're doing, wallahi, there's no place except hellfire for you. I'm so sorry.
You know,
one other thing, when you want to charge your phone, there's YouTube videos where you can charge it using a potato.
I've seen that.
So you'll get a certain amount of energy from it.
Yeah.
You can charge it using a battery pack.
Yeah.
You'll get a certain amount of energy from it. Then you put it in the mains.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when you get the proper energy coming through.
That's what
So being grateful to a cup of coffee.
What does that mean even?
Yeah. Being grateful. It's like getting it from the potato.
Yeah. It's so low level, isn't it?
But then when you're grateful to the source. What you're doing is you're unlocking so much more.
Mm.
Yeah, you're not just in a room. Well, you've unlocked the house, you've unlocked the village, the city, and that's what Islam is. And unfortunately, Muslims, we don't appreciate this. We see drips and drabs of research and we cling on to it. Oh, serotonin, oxytocin, and cortisol, and all of these chemicals. We're not slave to chemicals. Yeah, there's research. Rupert Sheldrake's done a brilliant book in which he links a lot of these religious practices to even atheism, that even atheists take on board these things without even realizing these
things. Wow.
Yeah, it's actually a really good book, and he's actually doing another one also. And as Muslims, as believers, sometimes we don't really appreciate what we have.
Yes.
And I think that's very important for us to do. And these things, I think, can actually improve our iman if we use it properly.
And this is, I think, a good place to end, because, and the Quran states this itself. وَلَا إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَا إِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. That if you are thankful, then I will give you more. Allah is saying this to you. وَلَا إِن شَكَرْتُمْ, if you are thankful, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, which actually in Arabic, is like lam is for mubalagha, is for hyperbole, and noon mushaddada is also for hyperbole, so it's a double hyperbole, that I will most certainly give you more. This is, if you are just thankful, wala in shakartum, I will certainly give you more. Wala in kafartum, if you're ungrateful, then my punishment, as you were saying, is going to be extremely lashadid, is going to be extremely severe. And this is where I think is a good place to end. But in terms of call to action, what we can do in our daily life is, and I try and do this with my family as much as possible, is teach our children, really, to be honest. The young people need to know, what are we thankful for? And you'll see the most innocent answers that they give. I'm thankful for my hearing, my seeing, my being able to, the five senses, my being able to walk. And you'll see that these things that we get for free, for the most part, are the most powerful and priceless love that you have. Somebody that you love, or a heartbeat. You have a heartbeat. Your heart is beating involuntarily. You're not paying it. Wow. All of these things are just happening. The system, the immune system is working. Everything is working automatically within your body. And there's so much to thank for. And if you can't think of anything to thank God for, then this is part of the problem. And if you can do it, then this will be part of your solution. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.